In the name of one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Welcome to the first Sunday of Advent. So it's coming up to Christmas, and little Sam asked his mom if he could have a new bike. So she told him that the best idea would be to write to Santa Claus. But Sam, having just played a vital role in the school's nativity play, said that he would rather write a letter to the baby Jesus. His mom told him that that would be fine. So Sam went to his room and he wrote, "Dear Jesus, I have been a very good boy and I would like to have a bike for Christmas." But he wasn't really happy with it when he read it over, so he decided to try again. And in the second draft, he wrote, "Dear Jesus, I'm a good boy most of the time and would like a bike for Christmas." He read it back and he wasn't happy with that one either. So he tried a third version. "Dear Jesus, I could be a good boy if I tried, but especially if I had a new bike." He read that one too, but he still wasn't satisfied. So Sam decided to go out in the neighborhood for a walk to come up with a better approach. And after a short time, he passed a house had a statue of the Virgin Mary in the front yard. He crept in, and he stole it, and he stuffed it under his coat, and he hurried home and hid it under his bed. And then he wrote his final letter, "Dear Jesus, I have your mother. If you want to see her again, you better give me a new bike." Some of you have commented to me that the jokes are only good when they have some relevant point to the sermon, which I think they all do, but maybe not. But this one does. So today is the very first day of the new year of the church. You might think that it would make sense to have our New Year's Day being Christmas morning, because after all, that's the day that Jesus is born into our lives, into our world. Celebrate the day that we celebrate God being incarnate. But instead, our new year as Christians begins with expectation. We begin our year by waiting. We wait for Jesus to come to us. We wait for Jesus to make himself present in our world. We wait for God to show up. As Christians, we believe God is always here, right? God is always present with us. That's why we celebrate the Eucharist every Sunday, to remember that God is always with us. But, like little Sam in the story, we often start off our year thinking, "Hey, I'm a pretty good person." And then we think, "I'm an okay person." And then we begin to think, "I can be a good person if I tried a little harder." And then it is, "I'm stealing the Virgin Mary." So we need this time every year to return. To return to God, to return in the sense of anticipation, to open our lives to let God in. That's what this season is all about. When 1933, the well-known German pastor and martyr, Dietrich Bonhoeffer, was pastoring a church in London. And on the first Sunday of Advent, he preached a remarkable sermon to his church. It followed a terrible tragedy that had taken place in the county of Derbyshire, where it had wrapped the attention of the nation, where there was a mine, and there were a number of workers that went in on the Saturday, the day before the first Sunday of Advent, and the mine shaft collapsed, and they were trapped on the inside. And this happened on November 19th. And as a newspaper at the time wrote, "On Saturday, November 19th, 14 miners died in a mine in Derbyshire. Bands of rescuers in gas masks descended the pit immediately, some in their best Sunday clothes, and they worked for 3 hours with pick and shovel before the first person was finally reached. In all, 14 men imprisoned in a mine underground died waiting to be free." He told this story and he began to say, "Isn't this where we all are in the season of Advent?" Put yourself in the place of one of those miners. Imagine what it must have been like going down in the mine, as you have done day in and day out, week in and week out, knowing the dangers, knowing what could happen, knowing the fears, and then finally being there and having the shaft collapse in on itself. Imagine what it would have been like to be one of those miners, thinking with every ounce of your concentration, with your being, with your thought, listening for a friend on the other side and then chipping away at that rock. Imagine, put yourself in the place of one of those miners waiting to have any shred of light shine in from that mine shaft. Thinking with every ounce of who you are, waiting, hoping, praying to be rescued. Bonhoeffer, who was later imprisoned in Germany, wrote to a friend of his and said, "Life in a prison cell may well be compared to Advent. One waits, one hopes, the door is locked shut and can only be opened from the outside." Imagine what it would have been like, or imagine what it would be like to be a prisoner waiting for your salvation, waiting for somebody to come and unlock that door. What it would be like to be a miner waiting for somebody to come and rescue you. In the gospel lesson we hear today, we hear another disturbing passage. We heard Mark's version of this exact same passage a couple of weeks ago. A commentator that I read this week said that some people think that the Bible is God's love song or love letter to humanity. He said, "I'd encourage them to read this chapter from Luke and see if they can find any sense of a love letter." And Jesus said, "Hey, there are going to be signs in the sky, and the sun is going to fall, and the moon's going to go dark, and the stars are going to fall out of the sky, and there's going to be torment and weeping and wailing in the world. All these awful, miserable, terrifying, frightening things are going to happen before God comes back. But don't worry, God loves you." Very little good news in there. It's terrifying. But that's what we hear on the first Sunday of Advent, because in the midst of all of this heightened anxiety and fear and trepidation, Jesus says, "You know, keep watch. Because when you see all of these things taking place, stand up and raise your heads, because your redemption is drawing near." That word redemption is an awfully powerful word. In the Greek text in which it was written, it described a prisoner whose ransom had been paid and was waiting for that door to be unlocked. Imagine being a prisoner, knowing your ransom has been paid, your bail has been posted, and you're just waiting any minute for somebody to come unlock that door and set you free. Bonhoeffer, as he continued the sermon, said, "Okay, so who is Jesus' text actually addressing?" He said, "It's the people that know they are unredeemed. The people that know that they are in bondage and in chains. People like the man trapped underground, like the prisoners who are waiting and watching for their freedom, who are waiting for true redemption. Those people who would like to be redeemed people." Bonhoeffer begs us to ask the question, do you want to be redeemed? Do you want to be free? Do you want to be set free? Because he says the people for whom that Jesus' words are not meant are the people that are so comfortable in their cell they've forgotten that they're even in it. And you know, that's where we get back to the little parable of Sam at the beginning of this. Right? We all start off our year. We start off our Advent season knowing that we want God to be present in our lives. We know what it matters to have the gift of God, to have that gift of relationship, to have that gift of what what it means when you pray to know that God is actually listening, that you've got this relationship, that the God, the creator of all things, wants to be in relationship with you. And we start off the year like that. And we begin to drift away a little bit. We begin to think, oh, that's a nice symptom. I like the idea of God. You know, I can take care of myself. I've got enough agency. My life's going okay. I'm in good health. Family loves me. I've got them all around. Things are going okay. I can chart my own course. I'm fine. I don't really need God. Until we do. Tragedy sets in. Where you find out you're not as healthy as you wanted to be. Where you struggle. Or maybe you just find out that no matter how hard you try to be a good person, no matter how hard you try to always do the right thing, to follow all the rules, that somehow you just keep missing the mark. That no matter how hard you try to hit the bullseye, you just can't do it. And then as the year goes on, we begin to realize, I need God. I need that God who's going to answer my prayers. I need that God who's going to hear me. I need the Prince of Peace. I need the one who's going to remind me, it's okay if I can't do everything. It's okay if I can't be perfect. It's okay if I can't always be in charge. Because God is with me. God's going to carry me through this. We're going to be okay. Because at the end of the day, it's not all up to me. Another theologian, Jürgen Moltmann, a German theologian, wrote this wonderful book called The Theology of Hope. He explained it one day saying, I tried to present the Christian hope no longer such as, quote, an opium of the beyond, something that just helps us feel better about life after death, but rather as the divine power that makes us alive in this world. The season of Advent is about waking up. About being alive in this world. It's about remembering what it is to be free, what it is to be redeemed, what it is to be rescued, what it is to live fully alive as God would want us to live. In this season of Advent, use it as a time to wake up. Use it as a time to remember you don't have to be perfect. You don't have to be sinless. You don't have to be the best. Just have to be open to letting God in, to allow you to be the one that God wants you to be. And then you'll be enough.